Hey, it is so good to see you today. I am so grateful that we have the opportunity to be together to dig into God's Word and to continue our message series, Your Next Step. Now, if this is your first time with us in a couple of weeks, let me just give you the bottom line for this series. It's very, very simple. Our goal is that every single one of us will take our next step with Jesus. For some people, that might be a very first step into relationship with Him. For others of us, it's going to be a continuing step just following the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But we want all of us, young, old, new follower of Jesus, longtime follower of Jesus, we want all of us to take our next step with Him. Now, I know that all of us have unique spiritual journeys. We're unique people. And yet, in spite of our uniqueness, there are some steps that the Holy Spirit is going to nudge every single one of us to take. For instance, we talked about this step of stepping into relationship with Jesus. We have the invitation to know Christ. And that's a step that every single one of us are invited to do, invited to step into relationship with Jesus. We talked the first couple of weeks of this series that following Jesus is not about rituals, it's not about rules, it's about living in relationship with Jesus every single day. And we have the privilege of knowing Christ personally. As we get to know Jesus, we discover that first step is just the beginning of a long, lifelong spiritual journey. And as we get to know Jesus more and more and more, we discover that He lived and died and rose again, not only so that we could know Him, but that so we could live a life of freedom. And we discover that it's not just like freedom of speech. It's not just freedom to vote. It's actually spiritual freedom. That we can experience this incredible freedom from the guilt of our past sin through the forgiveness that Christ purchased for us on the cross. And not only that, because of His power that has defeated all of Satan's tactics, you and I can actually experience healing and freedom from all of the hurts and hang-ups and habits that we wrestle with in our lives. I mean, you and I have the incredible privilege of stepping into a life of freedom with Jesus. And as we continue to move forward and get to know Jesus more and live in this life of freedom, we discover that there's an additional step that we're invited into. And it's really found in some words that we've looked at every single Sunday in this series from the writer of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. And we're going to put it on the screen. We'd love for you to look at it in your Bible if that's helpful to you. But let's look at it together. Foundational verses for this series that we're in. The writer says, "Since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." We do this kept keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Now, if you're looking at the screen, you can see that those words, "let us run with endurance the race God has set before us," those words are bolded for us today. Because they challenge us to take a step forward into the purpose God has created us for. The challenge today is for you and I to discover the purpose for which God made us and to actually embrace that and live into it. We were designed to run a race that God has set before us. That means that we're not just running in circles. It means that we're not just running a race by accident. We're not just running for no reason. No, you and I have been designed by God to run the race that He has set out before us. And the writer says this race is so purposeful, it's so meaningful, it's so significant that we ought to run it with intention. We ought to run it with endurance. And there's going to be challenges and there's going to be difficulty, but we're not running this race on our own. There's a huge cloud of witnesses and a crowd of witnesses, some in heaven, some here on earth, and they're cheering us on as we run this race and we share the joys and the sorrows and the celebrations and we cheer each other on in this journey. And we're not only running with other people, we're running most importantly with Jesus. Because he's the one who initiated this race and initiated the relationship with us. And he's the one who runs with us every single day. He's the one who will complete and perfect our faith someday when we step from this life into eternity. We actually have the opportunity to live lives on purpose. Lives with meaning. The Apostle Paul believed this so fully that in Romans chapter 12, he wrote these words to the Christ followers living in the ancient city of Rome. He said, "Hey, brothers and sisters, I'm pleading with you. Give your bodies to God." He's meaning your whole life there. Give everything that you are to God because of all he has done for you. Let your life be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that God finds acceptable, and this is the way to truly worship him. Paul says, God has set out this race before you to run. And he has lived and died and rose again so you could live this life following him. And so because of that, embrace what God has given to you. Embrace the purpose he's designed you for and live into that. And don't let anything hold you back. All that you are, your passions and hopes and dreams and desires and mind and emotions and flesh and bone, all that you are, use all of that to run this race that God has set before you. Running the race in a God-honoring way, running the race that you were designed to run, living out the purpose God designed you for, is actually, according to Paul, a form of worship, the highest form of worship. You know, you can take a race car and you can take a leisurely drive down a country road at about 45 miles an hour. And it might be enjoyable, but that's not what that race car was designed to do. That race car was designed to go about 120 miles an hour or more and take all the curves and accelerate and pass other cars and get the checkered flag at the end. That's what that race car is designed to do. You can take a grand piano and you can use it as a bookshelf, but that's not what that grand piano is designed to do. That grand piano is designed to sing and come alive when somebody like Pastor Glenn sits down and makes it sing and makes it make music. That's what it's designed to do. And you and I can live for all kinds of purposes in our life. But we will only be fulfilled, we will only feel meaning and significance, we will only really come alive when we are living out the purpose that God designed us to live. And I believe that God's desire is that every single one of us just step into the purpose that he has designed us to live. I know that some people would say, Wes, that's way too big of a concept for me to wrap my brain around. I mean, we're talking about like the meaning of life here. Why am I actually on this planet? That's a really big concept for me to grab onto today. And some people would say, well, you know, you can't actually even know. It's just sort of this thing that we kind of guess our way through life and try to figure out our way and try to just multiple choice our way through life, figuring out the meaning of it all. But I believe that Jesus lived and died and rose again so you could actually live into your purpose. I believe he did. Now think about just for a minute how unique we are. And yet how much we have in common. We're unique, yet we have much in common. And when we think about our purpose, I want you to think today about this ultimate purpose that God has given to you and to me. Maybe it would help us just for a minute if we think about our biological commonality and then our biological differences, because I think there's a parallel here to the spiritual. Some of you know that we share this DNA thing. It's in every single one of us. Do you know that wasn't even actually discovered until 1953? And a couple of scientists, James Watson and Francis Crick, they actually discovered this thing called DNA. And Watson and Crick were so excited that when they went to get lunch that day, that they made this discovery and finally wrapped their brains around it a little bit, that they actually told the people they were eating lunch with, "We have discovered the secret to life." I mean, they were so excited. Crick's wife said, "Yeah, I actually didn't believe that you discovered the secret to life. Because you used to come home all the time and tell me that you made this huge discovery." And she said, "I figured this was just you on another one of your excitable rants." Well, we know now that was a humongous discovery. I mean, all of these years later, we've discovered more and more and more about this thing called DNA, that it's found in every single living cell and that we can't exist without it. But here's what I think is so unique. Here's what's so unique. That all human beings are 99.9% identical in their DNA makeup. Do you know that? 99.9%. You and I share that DNA together. And so all of these differences that we have, and when we look around the room today, guess what we see first? We see differences, don't we? We see differences. But all of those differences are actually contained in 0.1% of our DNA. So yes, there are things very unique about us, but we share so much in common biologically. And I think the same is true spiritually. There are some uniquenesses that we have. God gave you strengths and abilities and a personality and unique qualities and characteristics that I don't have. And I have some that you don't have. Together, we figure out a way to work together and make the world work the way it's supposed to and get things done that need to be done. There are uniquenesses to us. And we're going to spend next Sunday talking about some of those uniquenesses. But I wonder if we shouldn't focus more on what we have in common. This ultimate purpose that God has given to you and to me, because it crosses all of our diversity and all of our uniqueness, it actually unites us. This amazing purpose that God has given to us. Can I break it down for you really simply today? There are three parts to this ultimate purpose. The first thing that God has created you for is to do life with Him. God designed you and created you to do life with Him. And that looks like living a fully devoted life to Jesus. Every single one of us, in fact, every single person that has ever lived, will live today, and will live in the future, God designed for this ultimate purpose. Jesus said it so clearly and so concisely when people were coming to Him and saying, "What's the most important thing I need to know? What's the most important thing I should do?" And Jesus said it, and Matthew wrote it down for us in Matthew 22, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind." Jesus said, this is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus said, this is where it all begins. This is the thread that goes through every part of the fabric of your life. This is what every single person was designed and created to do. And Jesus showed us how to do it when He was on this planet walking among us. He showed us how to do it in all of the different experiences of life. A lot of times when we think about Jesus, we focus just on the miraculous, just on the great and grand things that He did. And those are spectacular, and we should think about them and focus on them. Yet Jesus also showed us how to live just in the everyday, usual, ordinary situations of life. He showed us how to love God fully and completely in every single area of life. And when you look at Jesus, you discover that He did all of these little things that seemed in some ways unnecessary, and yet they were important. Like He actually touched people that nobody else would touch when He healed them. Or He would take things like dirt and make it into a little mud pack, and He would put it on somebody's eyes and He would heal them in that way. He would go fishing and He would do carpentry, and He would make breakfast for people, and He had all these conversations. Jesus did just these normal things as well as the miraculous. And He showed us what it looks like to actually love God in every single area of your life. Reminds me of marriage. We think about marriage sometimes in just those big highlight moments. The wedding ceremony, the honeymoon, the birth of a child. We think about some of those kinds of things, these big celebration kind of moments. But everybody who's really been married for a very long time understands that marriage is way more than just the high moments, right? Marriage is figuring out who's going to do the dishes that night, and who's going to clean the toilets, and who's going to change the 15th dirty diaper of the morning. Marriage is figuring out how to sleep in the bed with somebody without stealing all the covers or having the covers stolen from you. Was that too personal? I'm sorry. That's marriage, though, right? It's not just the big moments. It's the everyday, ordinary stuff. And you and I are created and designed by God to do life with Him in the big stuff and in the little everyday stuff. The Apostle Paul said it like this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. He said, whether you're eating or drinking or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Every part of you is designed for the honor and glory of God. So you live with God. It's a purpose we all share. And as you live with God, you discover that there's a second part to this ultimate purpose. As we live fully devoted to Jesus, we discover that we're actually designed to also do life with others. And it looks like loving others unconditionally, following the example of Jesus. That's what it looks like. You remember Jesus followed up those words about loving God with every part of us, fully devoted to God, and He said, there's a second thing that is equally important. Sometimes we forget that He said that. It is equally important. Jesus is saying, this is just as important as the first thing. This is not second tier or second shelf. This is the main thing, just like loving God fully and completely is important, so is loving others unconditionally. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And a little bit later on in His ministry, Jesus actually said to the disciples, as they're sharing the Last Supper together before Jesus goes to the cross, the disciple John wrote down some of Jesus' words. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. Jesus said, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I've loved you. You should love each other this way. And when you do that, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus says, this trumps everything else. Your love for God is going to be expressed in the way that you love each other. And He says all of the other rules, all of the other rituals that God had been talking to people about since the Israelites were freed from slavery through the Exodus, God had been talking to them about things like the Ten Commandments and rules and rituals. How do you actually live as free people without being irresponsible? That's what all of those rules and rituals were about, how to live free without living irresponsibly. And so God showed them how to honor Him as free people. And Jesus said, now that I'm here, now that I've made a way for you to have a relationship with God personally, now that I've died, I'm going to die on the cross to forgive you of your sin, and then I'm going to rise again. Jesus said, you have the power, my power, to actually love each other the way that I have loved you. And He says, if you love like that, that's actually going to point people to me. If you can love like that. I am just so struck every single time I read those words of Jesus that nowhere does Jesus say it is because you have amazing messages every week. That's what's going to draw people to Jesus. Now, hopefully the messages every week are something you can gain from and learn from and grow from. But Jesus doesn't say that's the key to drawing people to Jesus. Jesus doesn't say it's all about the incredible music that you have. He doesn't say it's all about how many chapters of Scripture that you read every single day. No, Jesus said, if you want to draw people to me, if you want the world to know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then they are going to be attracted to you and attracted to Jesus by the way you love each other. Because guess what? The world has all kinds of great communicators. The world has all kinds of great music. The world has all kinds of incredible cathedrals and buildings and auditoriums. The world has all kinds of passion. There are people all over the world that will die for what they believe. They have all sorts of passion. Jesus says, you know what's going to set you apart? You know what I've designed you for? I've designed you to love others unconditionally, and that's the thing that nobody in the world can replicate without the power of God. So Jesus says, if you want to get the attention of the world, then you love each other like I've loved you. And as you and I do life with God, and as we do life with others, loving them unconditionally, we discover that a third part of our ultimate purpose is for us to do life sharing God's good news. And that means simply being a witness to the good news of Jesus. Just being a witness to the good news of Jesus. Jesus made some incredible statements after he was crucified and rose again and before he ascended back to heaven. Matthew wrote down one of those statements in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Jesus' words, we often call them today the Great Commission. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. What was the command that Jesus just gave them? What did he just say? I'm giving you a command. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus says, I want you to teach them that. I want you to live that out in front of them. And he said, you can be sure of this. I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the age. And then Jesus, just before he ascends back to heaven, he says it a little different way. Same truth and same meaning. It's written down for us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jesus is literally saying, you are going to tell people about me from here, Jerusalem, to everywhere. From here to everywhere. I want you to simply be my witness. And Jesus uses the word there, witness, very strategically. Because a witness is somebody who has experienced something, and so they get to just share what they have seen and heard and personally experienced. And so Jesus is saying, I just want you to be able to tell the story of what I have done for you to the people around you. And I want you to be able to live in such a way that people can tell you are different because you rub shoulders with me. If you and I have truly experienced the forgiveness of Jesus, and if we have actually experienced His healing and help in our life, it is a very personal thing. But it is not private. Personal, but it's not private. You and I cannot keep our faith private if Jesus has truly transformed our heart and our life. And Jesus doesn't give us a whole task list here of things to do to be a witness. He doesn't say, you should create these big signs and go stand down on the corner by Wendy's and do that. It's not what he says. You can, but that's not what he says you have to do. He says you don't have to designate 2 hours every Saturday morning to go knock on people's doors and ask them if they were to die tonight, where would they spend eternity? You can do that. But that's not what Jesus says is truly about being a witness. You see, to truly be a witness for Jesus is not something that you do, it is who you are. We said that a few months ago, but I want to remind you of it again. Being a witness for Jesus is not nearly so much about what you do, it is who you are. You live as a witness and as a follower of Jesus. And as you live out that faith and as you live out the hope that you have, It actually grabs the attention of people around you because they realize you are living life in a way that even in the life's most difficult moments, there is a foundation that you can stand on so your life isn't quaking and shaking and crumbling. And even when you're experiencing amazing success, it doesn't all go to your head and it doesn't get you off priority because you're grounded in a way that allows you to experience even life's greatest losses and life's greatest successes in balance and in sync with Jesus. So I think it's much more challenging for you and I to think about witnessing as a task we check off. It's much easier to do that. It's much more challenging to actually think about being a witness as the way we live every single day. But guess what? It's what you were designed for. You were designed to do life with God. You were designed to do life with others. And you are designed to be a storyteller of the work that Jesus has done in your heart and in your life. We all share that in common today. Every single one of us, it doesn't matter how young or old we are, it doesn't matter the color of our skin or the language we speak or our educational level or our economic status, we share that ultimate purpose together. Now, there are some unique things. We're going to talk about that next week. But I wonder if you are willing just to step into and fully embrace the purpose with which God created you and designed you for. Now, before we leave this morning, I want to just throw out something real quickly to you. I want to just remind you that there are enemies to you living out your purpose. There are enemies to you living out your purpose. Some of you remember a few minutes ago we talked about Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and we mentioned where Paul says, every part of you, all of you, live it to the glory of God. Let it be an act of worship, every part of you. But in the next verse, verse 2, he says this. It'll be on the screen for you. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Paul is saying there is something here that happens that will prevent you from living out your God-given purpose if you're not careful. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Here's what I think it looks like in our world. I think an enemy to our purpose is when you and I compare ourselves to other people. Comparison is the enemy of you living out your purpose. As human beings, we love to compare ourselves with each other. I mean, that's half of what social media is about, right? Are your vacation pictures cooler than the other person's vacation pictures? Whatever. We love to compare ourselves. Do I have a bigger house or a better house? Do I make more money? Are my kids cooler? Are they smarter? Are they more involved? We love comparing all of these things. And when you and I begin comparing ourselves and we're not quite measuring up, it's a really short leap for us trying to copy somebody else and live out somebody else's purpose, what they're doing as our purpose. When you and I begin comparing ourselves to each other, I think it leads to confusion. It leads to confusion about what our true purpose is. Our true purpose is not keeping up with the neighbors or our older brother or sister. Our true purpose is not making our parents happy, although that's a good thing. Our true purpose isn't those things. Our purpose, if we're not careful, will be confused because we're comparing it to somebody else's life. And when you and I compare and get confused, here's what happens. We live a counterfeit purpose. We live for a counterfeit purpose. When you and I look at everybody else and try to decide we want to measure up to them, we get confused about the true purpose that God designed us for, and our purpose gets hijacked. And we find ourselves frustrated and unfulfilled because, listen, God did not design you to run somebody else's race. Do you remember the verses that we started out with? God set this race before you. And He didn't design you to run somebody else's race. God did not design you to be an echo of somebody else's purpose. He designed you for your purpose. And so you and I, we have to be careful not to copy the behavior and customs of our neighbors or anybody else in this world, because God has designed us and created us for His purpose. And so we look at God's Word today and we let the Holy Spirit speak to us and we ask ourselves, have I truly embraced this ultimate purpose for which God designed me? Have I truly embraced it? You will never, and I will never be fulfilled by making a dollar when God has designed us to make a difference. You and I were designed for this amazing God-given purpose. I wonder if you've embraced it. I wonder if you and I have gotten susceptible to one of the enemies of purpose. Where we've gotten our eyes off from the race that God has put before us, and we've simply started running, trying to compete with everybody else. It's gotten confusing. And the first thing you know, we're living a counterfeit purpose as opposed to the one God designed us for. I wonder what area of purpose God might be saying to you today, hey, here's the area that I'd love for you to strengthen. Let me strengthen you here through the power of my Spirit. Maybe as you think about it, you've never really determined that you're going to live your life devoted to Jesus. Maybe that's where you need to take a step today. Maybe it's that you've really struggled to love others unconditionally. If you struggle there, you're in mighty good company. Maybe you have found that you've struggled to just live in such a way, letting Jesus' light shine through you and letting His hope shine through your life. You struggle to live in such a way that others are drawn to Jesus just by you being a witness. I don't know where it is that God might be prompting you today, but I know this. He desires every single one of us to step into the purpose He created us for and to run the race with endurance, keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the author, initiator, perfecter of our faith. And when you and I do that, we will discover that we can have meaning and fulfillment about life that we never had before. Because even though sometimes the journey is tough, we are running the race that God designed us for. And that we find amazing fulfillment and peace. Don't settle for anything else when God designed you for His purpose. Would you stand with me, please? Just bow your heads with me. If it helps you, close your eyes. I'd love for you to think through the questions that we asked a moment ago about purpose. Have you embraced this purpose that God has created you for? What areas maybe do you need to be strengthened? And have you allowed yourself in any way to get distracted or detoured from the true mission that God created you for? Don't settle for anything less than the mission God created you for and the purpose He designed you for. God, would you help us as we stand in your presence today to just be willing to allow your Spirit to speak to us and nudge us in whatever way we need it? And would you help us determine in our hearts that as you lead us step by step in this journey, that we're going to follow you. We pray that you'd help us today. In Jesus' name.